RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Yogi Bear's Jellystone Parks. To find a campground near you, visit campjellystone.com. And by Campers Inn RV. Find your family's next RV at campersinn.com. And by RV Trader. If you're looking to sell your RV, head over to rvtrader.com/sell and enter coupon code RVFTA5OFF to receive a special discount.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at rvfamilytravelatlas.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
Happy spring, everybody! Up here in the Northeast, we are opening up our RVs and celebrating the beginning of camping season. And here at RVFTA, that means it's also time for our spring camping resolutions.
On this week's episode, we are setting our goals for the 2016 camping season, talking about what we want to do more of and what we want to do less of, and what we want to try for the very first time.
Plus, we have an interview with Amy Duthy from Jayco, who is going to tell us about the new Sway Command technology now available in every single travel trailer that they manufacture. So if you are resolving to be safer on the road, this is something you're going to want to check out.
You might think that resolutions should be made on January 1st, but we know that the new year really starts when we hitch up and head to the campground for the first time. You are listening to episode number 81, RVFTA Spring Camping Resolutions 2016. Before we head into this week's featured topic, our RVFTA Spring Camping Resolutions 2016, it's time for our news roundup. And we have a fresh new blog post up on the Progressive blog, which you can find at lifelanes.progressive.com. And it's an article called Five Tips for Road Tripping with Kids. So Stephanie, give everyone a little sneak peek at that article.
Well, I'm not going to give away too much because you have to go over to Progressive
to read it. Would you give away one?
But this is perfectly timed. For everybody who is heading out on spring break trips, you know, their spring trips. So big time, bust out the camper, do a 5, 6, 7 hour drive. We know so many of you that are heading very far away for your spring break. Check out this article before you go. It's got five tips, really tried and true tips that we actually apply, like how we deal with food to keep things a little bit healthier, where we stop along the way to make the most out of our breaks. I also have some ideas for keeping activities I call high interest, low prep, because, you know, if you look on Pinterest, oh my gosh, you know, according to their suggestions, I should spend days leading up to a trip like packing car kits. No.
So not you're not happen. A Pinterest mom, as it were?
No. Because, you know, Pinterest like stresses me out. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't do that.
Instagram makes you happy.
Pinterest stresses me out a little bit. But we, you know, a lot of people love Pinterest. I say keep the ideas low prep. And I explain what that means in the article.
And surf around that Progressive blog. They have lots of great content. I've been reading the boating articles.
Uh-oh.
I have.
Hey, I don't even want to get into that.
The winds are giving up RVing and they're going strictly boating.
Yeah, we wouldn't survive.
No, we wouldn't. Yeah, it wouldn't work.
Because the thing is, a boat, in terms of its small space, is very similar to an RV. But what's the difference? And in the RV, what do? You get out.
Well, no, I was thinking if the kids fall out of the boat, they fall into the ocean. Wow. Or if they fall out of the RV, they hit the ground. They cry.
And that happens.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it happens. If they hit the staircase, that can hurt. But then, you know, everyone's okay and you recover. If they fall out of the boat, it's just like a really big problem.
No, we say it's no big deal that the RV is small because we have the big open spaces outside. That is not true for a boat. Like, you are on that boat. We would not survive. It's not happening. That's not in our future.
No, and I'm just RVing for life. I'm just sold on it. Okay, now we are giving away a level check, and that got quite a response on Instagram this week. Lots of people wanted to win that Truma level check. So we put up a picture this week and we asked people to tag a friend, and like it was like 100 people tagging friends to win the Truma level check. So Stephanie, who won the Truma level check?
Antsy Pants 66. Congratulations, Nancy Pants.
Congratulations. And I know, I'm almost positive she's a fifth wheel owner. So I think that the level check's really good for fifth wheel owners because the propane tanks are not always so accessible in a lot of fifth wheels. Now we have another giveaway. We have a great prizes to give away for like the next 2 months. Mm-hmm. So what is our next big prize?
Okay, so on last week's episode, episode 80, our Spring Gear Guide Part 2, we reviewed the RhinoFlex Sewer Hose Kit, and that's by Campco, okay? So this week we are giving one of those away. Now you might say, I already have a sewer hose kit, and we would say, yeah, but you need a fresh one.
You do need a fresh one, frankly. And we've used these. These are a good high quality sewer hose kit. They're durable. They last a long time. I've never had any leakage issues with these.
Aww,
yeah, I know.
Nice.
So what do our listeners have to do to win the RhinoFlex sewer hose kit? I will put up again a photo on Instagram. It'll be obvious because the RhinoFlex sewer kit will be in the photo.
I know. And then, I shuddered a bit when you said that we were going to put a sewer hose picture on Instagram, but that's okay. It's fun.
We'll figure out some fun way to display the RhinoFlex sewer hose kit. So what are our listeners going to have to do to win?
Okay, listen closely because you have to follow directions to actually be a winner.
I think our listeners are very good at following directions.
Some of them are, some of them aren't. I'm not going to say anymore. But you have to like Campco on Instagram, and I will check before I pick the winner. When we randomly select the winner, then I'm going to go over and see if that person's or if you get disqualified, right? So you have to like Campco on Instagram. You have to like us on Instagram. All right? Don't think you're just dropping in for the giveaways.
Don't be just dropping in. You got to follow the account.
You have to like us on Instagram. You have to like the photo and tag a friend. 4 steps. Easy peasy.
Give it to us again.
Okay. Like Campco, like us, like the photo, tag a friend.
Now, if you like Campco and like us, and like a week later, like you unlike us, I'm going to come find you and take back your RhinoFlex sewer kit.
Yeah, he's going to find you at the campground.
I'm going to find you at the campground, and I'm going to just unplug your sewer kit.
Oh, we don't talk to monitor these things.
So it's another great prize. I mean, I really like this. It's way better than the ones that usually come for free with the RV.
Right.
So it's just about time to head into this week's featured topic, our RVFTA Spring Camping Resolutions 2016. We wanted to remind everyone to go back and listen to last year's Spring Camping Resolutions, and that was episode number 27.
Crazy, right?
When you see
that number, you're like, oh my gosh, and we're on 81 now. That's a lot. But it was so funny for us to go back and to listen to that episode, to listen to what we said about our resolutions, because first of all, I was sick.
She had this smoky Lauren Bacall voice going.
Oh, wow.
Her voice was very scratchy and
five days later, we found out I had strep throat.
Yeah, so she recorded that one with strep. But I hope none of you got strep from listening to that episode. So if you want to go back and listen to Stephanie's strep throat voice.
Like, I had no idea. I just thought I had a cold.
We were young and easy back then on episode 27.
Yeah. So, and it was also the first week of spring, and it had snowed that week, all of which happened this week. It was the first week of spring and we had snow here in New Jersey. So it was really funny to go back and listen.
I was nervous to go back and listen to the episode because I was worried that I didn't follow through on any of my resolutions. And I was actually pleasantly surprised at how many I did follow through on.
All right. Well, we'll talk about that coming up.
All right. We'll be back in a second.
Choosing the right RV dealership is as important as choosing the right RV.
Campers Inn has thousands of RVs to choose from and has been the RVer's trusted resource for 50 years.
In 1966, Art and Fran Hirsch, along with their sons Bob, David, and Jeff, invested their family's life savings to buy 4 folding tent trailers, selling them out of their front yard in Acton, Massachusetts.
Their dream was to build a hometown dealership where every customer feels like family and becomes a customer for life.
50 years and 3 generations later, Campers Inn RV is the nation's largest family-operated dealership with 15 locations on the East Coast.
Their professional staff and certified trained service personnel are driven by the commitment to treat each customer fairly and with respect.
Find your family's next RV at campersinn.com.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for this year's featured topic, our 2016 spring camping resolutions. But first, it's only fair that we go back over last year's and kind of quickly just be honest about whether we achieved these resolutions or not, because otherwise it just wouldn't be like straight up.
No. Yeah. I mean, it's always nice to think back and to think about what we accomplished. And, you know, I did want to say something, because we did these resolutions in March of 2015. And it's so funny to think about how dramatically our life changed in terms of what we were doing.
Because of the book.
2 months later.
Yeah, we had no idea that we were going to get an email from Penguin Random House asking us to do The Idiot's Guide to RV Vacation. So that's a great point. I mean, we thought we had a fairly mellow camping season ahead of us, and it turned into a pretty crazy camping season, because we were writing all summer long.
Some of the hardest work that we've ever done, and also some of the most rewarding work that we've ever done. We also began developing relationships with many of our partners that spring that we had no idea. We had no idea all this awesome stuff was coming our way. So I do think that when I look at my resolutions, I go, you know what? Some of this stuff was severely impacted. I want to talk about that a little bit, right? So what did I really succeed at last year that I said I had wanted to? Well, first of all, I had said I wanted to do more games at the campground. Oh my gosh, that's all we did all summer, right? Checkers, like the boys really got into board games. We played Trouble. Board games happened. And it really was a unifying factor for our family.
And it worked well when Wesley was napping to keep Max and Theo occupied in a relatively quiet way. We would sit out on the carpet and play checkers. So it worked nicely in that way, too.
Camp cooking. I think I did a great job at that last year, at doing more of that, at feeling more comfortable with the camp cooking. So I was happy with that.
And in a sense, it was a necessity. We spent over 70 nights in the RV and just eating out every day for 70 nights was not, it's not an option. So you stepped up to the plate on that big time and saved us a lot of money.
Yeah. So now the third thing is tricky, because like I just mentioned, the year didn't go like we meant to. I had said that I wanted to focus more on relaxing at the campground, because I'm a worker bae. Like, so it would be like when we were at the campground, I'd be like, oh, let me do this. Let me, like, I never just sit in a camp chair and read a magazine ever. So I had said I wanted to work on it. Well, guess what? It didn't happen. We never relaxed last summer, really. I mean, obviously, we had a great time.
No, but
so
we
many
did
places,
not spend extended time chilling out at the campground. Yeah. One of us was writing. We were taking turns. One of us would be writing, and one of us would have all three of the boys. And in both situations, we're not relaxing.
Yeah.
Rewarding, but not relaxing.
And then exercise, I did not accomplish the daily routine workout that I said I had wanted to. And again, I really do feel this isn't like about making excuses. It's about the way life looked so much different. And we were reacting to that in a lot of ways over the course of the summer. So I am not going to have them as my resolutions. Like, I'm not going to like roll them over and say that I have those same resolutions this year as one of my five. But I want to say that that is still a necessity for me to develop a regular routine at the campground.
And I'm hoping that having Maggie, our new dog, along with us will help in terms of going out for a walk in the morning and just building in some light exercise into our day.
Yeah. And so the last one that I want to say is I had said I wanted to do personalized checklists. Well, when you live in your RV for 70 nights, you don't really worry about packing up your RV like it was just there. And that is something that is going to appear in a different form on this year's spring.
Oh, coming up next when we get into the new ones. Yeah, it's definitely like, sort of transformed it into something
into
new
something
and better, I think.
That's more applicable to the way we use our RV now. Yeah.
All right, great. So was that the five?
That's it, yeah.
All right, so my five. My first one last year was to take better pictures. And this is the one where I really came through. I did lessons. I upgraded my photography equipment. I got off the automatic settings and I really purely shoot in one of the manual modes. And I just do think I improved tremendously as a photographer over the past year. So that's one where I'm proud of myself from last year. The second one, don't eat like you're on vacation. Can't say that I came through on that one totally. You know?
No, because we had issues. Like there were some times in the middle of the summer and I was like, stop with the ice cream. Like I got so overwhelmed by like vacation mode eating.
Yeah. And even though Stephanie was making a lot of healthy meals, there was like that camp store ice cream every night.
Snacking.
You know, it's hard for me when the boys are getting their camp store ice cream for me to not participate. All right. So this year I want to do a better job with that. My third one was that I wanted to become more handy in and around the RV.
Oh, I thought you were about to say become more handsome. Like you said, become more.
I am aging like Cary Grant. Are you kidding me?
All right, become more handy.
Become more handsome. I think you're aging very well.
Oh, thank you, dear.
All right. I wanted to become more handy in and around the RV, and I'm going to give myself like half a point on this one, not a full point, because in the spring, I really did do some little projects in the RV, but then once the craziness of the summer got around, I didn't continue that. But I also, I'm going to give credit to my Jayco RV. There just wasn't really things breaking to fix to some degree. I mean, like the odds and ends I needed to do in the spring, I did. Then there wasn't really anything else to do.
I know. We have a four-year-old travel trailer that we have put through the paces, and it's like, it's just doing well.
And the boys have beat the snot out of that thing, and there's just not like little projects like I have to fix this, I have to fix that, and I'm not a DIY guy. So anyway, I'll give myself a half point there. Four, I said I wanted to master the French press because we decided to move purely to French press for coffee in the camper. And I'm going to let Stephanie decide if I came through on that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. When I was listening to that, I was like, oh, look at that. Yeah, we did that. We were totally 100% French press.
And not that it's that complicated. But yeah, we did 100% French press, and I was making really good coffee in the French press. So I came through on that one. My fifth one is a little bit more controversial when Stephanie and I were talking about this. I said I wanted to really get off the smartphone at the campground and just not have it out all the time and looking at it and using it and Instagramming and checking the internet. And looking back, I really think that I didn't use, well, I was not using the smartphone at the campground during our RV trips. I'm using it at home a lot more than I want to be.
Yeah, you just got yelled at the other day about this.
I did. But the thing is, I got to tell you, when I'm in Great Smoky Mountains National Park, I'm not at all interested in looking at my phone.
Because there's no reception.
That's no, it's like... that's true. But for me, the phone becomes a problem / addiction only if I'm like sitting around at home and bored a little
bit. Yeah, if you're bored around home, I got some projects for you. There's no reason to be bored around here. There's plenty to do.
And you're totally right. And also, I've always said my entire life, and I'm an English teacher, no excuse to be bored when you could be reading. But the kids fracture that quiet reading time a little bit where it's easy to sneak a peek at your phone. You can't really do that with a novel. Like, let me sneak 3 minutes with my novel.
I still think we need to be always cognizant of how we're using technology. We're not Luddites. We don't want to say, oh, we're not going to post on our social media accounts while we're traveling. Of course we do. That's part of our experience and part of what we do. But I really want to be mindful. You hate that word.
I do. It's like a cliched way of thinking. I just want to use my phone less. I just do. When we're out on the RV trip, I want to be willing to say I'm not going to look at my phone for 5 hours.
Yeah.
You know, and some people say, hey, it's a great safety device to have too. So you don't want to like leave it back at the campground when you're hiking or something. Okay, great.
Again, very little reception on most of the hikes that we're doing.
So I'll give myself a half point on that one, I guess. I think I was fine, but it could do better.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to come back in a second with our new resolutions for 2016. We're going to start with Stephanie's, and I love her list. And I'm not just saying that because I love her. I'm saying that because she really came up with a great list. And frankly, I like it better than my own, but mine's good too.
Can't change.
Be back in a second.
Award-winning Yogi Bear's Jellystone Parks have everything your family needs to make long-lasting camping memories.
Whether you are an RV enthusiast, enjoy the comfort of a cabin, or prefer tent camping, Jellystone Parks have first-rate accommodations, amenities, and activities.
From amazing water zones to mini golf, wagon rides, themed weekends, and appearances from Yogi Bear and friends, you'll see that family fun is the main attraction at Jellystone Campgrounds.
And with over 80 locations in the United States and Canada, you can have a quality camping experience that is also close to home.
Visit CampJellystone.com to find a Jellystone park near you.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for Stephanie's 2016 spring camping resolutions. Love this list. Very interesting to me. And you really surprised me with this list.
Did I?
You did. I honestly, there's maybe one thing on here that didn't surprise me, four things that really did. So your first item is that you want a 100% stocked trailer. So elaborate. What does that even mean?
Obviously 100% minus food and clothing. Because I don't, you know, I'm not gonna like have a whole set. I know that some people do, but I'm not gonna have a whole set of clothing for the trailer. We don't work that way. We have one nice raincoat, one, you know, so minus food and clothing. What happened was last year, I said I wanted to do personalized checklists for packing. Now we're at the point where we use our camper so much that what I realized was, you know, this needs to be stocked like you would stock a vacation home. I really, like, we have to look at our RV like it's a vacation home because we spend that much time in it. So I was like doing, when we would get packed up for a trip, even weekend trips, I'm going to say I took 150 trips out to the camper, right? Like I'd be carrying out the...
It's a time waster.
It is. There are so many things, and I'm guilty of this because I have favorites of things and I don't want to buy double of them. So I just bring it back and forth from the trailer to the house. It needs to stop. It's too much work, especially for a weekend trip. So I realized I really want the camper to be a self-sufficient vacation home. And I want to only have to pack, because I am really efficient at packing clothes in those packing cubes, and I'm super efficient at doing food. I do a meal plan. I pack it up.
Smaller knick-knacky toothbrushes, this, that, the other thing that just wastes a lot of time.
Yeah. So last year I did do all of that. I did all the bathroom stuff. Like I've been taking this incrementally, but now I want to follow all the way through. I already got dedicated bedding for every single bed in the camper, and I'm just working my way through that camper, and it is going to be good to go with books for the boys, toys, like only things that are going to stay in the camper. They're not going to get packed up.
It's so interesting that this one, because before we bought the pop-up camper 6 years ago, I remember you saying one of the things that really excited you about purchasing an RV was having everything ready to go in the RV so that you could decide sort of at the last second on Thursday night, like, hey, let's go camping this weekend and not have it be a mountain of work. Now, the pop-up camper did not really allow us to stock the RV in that way. It's much easier in a travel trailer because you don't have to open it up and close it. So this is something you've really wanted right from the beginning in terms of your RV lifestyle.
I do. And I think that we have made these little minute incremental changes in that way. But the thing is I also have realized it's almost either all or nothing. Because if you're trying to remember what it is that you're going to stack, if it's like 20 things that you bring out, it just snowballs into this really long packing process.
And that cliche of what did we forget?
Exactly.
You know, we always joke when we get into the car and start driving, we're always like, I wonder what we forgot this time.
Yeah. So I just want that thing. Like I want one time to be like, let's go somewhere tomorrow and pack packing cubes and food.
Let's
do it. And
that's it.
And like, I wonder, like, can I get to that point?
And this summer,
you just tried to fist bump.
I did try to fist bump her because I love that idea of like on Thursday being like, let's just do a weekend trip that we hadn't really planned for. And this summer, we're doing two big trips at the beginning and end of the summer with a big gap in the middle that we are going to be home. And I'm hoping that we can do some weekends during that big gap a little bit more spontaneously.
Yeah. So we have our upcoming season opener, okay, right around the corner. And what I'd like to do is use that time to focus on getting that preparedness level.
Sound to good? Be mindful. To be intentional.
Oh, gosh. There's another one of your favorite words.
Okay. So next, your second one, and boy, do I agree with this one. You want to really define some camp chores for the boys, and I'm thinking maybe for us, but
yeah.
Camp chores for the boys. I mean, they're old enough that it is time.
Well, this year, what I try to do when I do these resolutions, I oftentimes look back at the progression that we've had in our own life as a family this year, and then I think, how will that look when we're camping? And that's where this camp chores thing came from, because this was the year our older two are in first grade, and I really defined their morning chores, their, you know, afternoon, their bedtime, like when you come home from school, you do this. And they have responded very, very well to that. Like at the beginning of the year, it was a fight. You need to go make your bed. You need to go pick up the clothes off your bed. I haven't had to tell them to make their beds in the morning in so long.
Beginning of the year was like a C-, and they're like B+, A- right now on really hitting their chores.
Oh, I'm proud of them for first graders. And the interesting thing is, and this is what always happens, is it is amazing how low our expectations are for our children sometimes in this day and age, because my 2-year-old does a lot of the same chores as my 6-year-old does. So I really started with the whole clearing the plate also at dinner, right? You ask to be excused, you clear your plate. Well, guess who else clears his plate?
Wesley West. Does he drop it occasionally on the way to the sink? Yes.
No, he's so good. No, he clears his plate. No, and that's the thing is, I wasn't having those six-year-olds do that when they were two. You know, and sometimes we just forget. The more we expect from them, the better they do. So we really want to apply that to the campground. I want to have their defined camp chores that they do when we arrive. Also every morning before they go out to play. Things like
it's
that.
It's a great place to teach them some responsibility. I mean, just because you're on vacation, you're at a fun campground, doesn't mean there's not things that we all have to do to chip in to make it all work. And it shouldn't all be on mom and dad. And if you're out there and it's all on you and you're not letting your kids do some chores, you know, it's time to rethink that.
We're doing them a disservice when we do that. We really
and
are. Sometimes
yeah.
It's easier for us in the short run to do it that way because it is so hard to get after your kids. Pick up your clothes. Like you just feel like you're banging your head against a wall sometimes. But we have to suffer for their good, right? We have to do it. So I want to do that.
All right. Number three, and I'm excited about this. You want to do more dry camping this year.
We've got it planned.
We do have it planned.
Mm-hmm. So it's on the agenda and we've talked about it and I'm super excited. We've gotten some equipment that is going to help us.
And we have
get...
some more equipment coming. And we have dry camped before. I know that our listeners think we're always like a resort campground, but that's not the case. I mean, in the pop-up camper, we did a lot of dry camping. Mm-hmm. We just kind of got away from it. Excited to do it again.
Yeah. And also more longer term and national park stuff. So I don't know. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, we have some state park campgrounds and national park campgrounds coming up this summer. We're mixing it up a little bit more. We couldn't be happier with mm-hmm. that.
Yeah. So that's a resolution. And we are like on track to make that happen. And we'll be doing lots of content about that too, of course. So
yeah. And it's so funny that we always look at these things as content opportunities as well. Besides being just something we want to do, it's like, okay, well, we can write about something we haven't really written about. Number four, you surprised me here.
I did. I don't even know what it is.
Geocaching.
Okay. So resolutions for me fall into the three different categories. Things you want to do more of, things you want to do less of, and then things you want to try for the first time, right? This year, my try for the first time is geocaching. And I'll be honest, this is not because I have a particular like hankering for geocaching. I try to appeal to certain tendencies I see in my children in order to motivate them to be outside more. And one of the things, like we just went to Valley Forge last week. Is that last week or
yep,
the week before?
Yes,
last
week. Had a great day trip.
And, you know, there's a drive-through there, a historical drive-through that are numbered 1 through 9. And as soon as you give, I see this about my kids often, but sometimes I forget. As soon as you give them like a set of puzzle pieces to figure out or on a scavenger hunt, like things to find or a goal of some sort, they get so fixated on what we're doing. Like how
Max was so upset that we didn't pull over for each of the 9 stops. I don't want to say he was so upset, but he really wanted to.
He wanted to. So that's engagement. Right? They were so engaged in that drive because there was a goal, right? There were these numbers that we were working through. And I realized, wait a minute, I need to appeal to that part of their personalities. So geocaching does that, right? It gives kids that goal they're working towards. So I think that as soon as we were to introduce this idea to our kids, they really would get on board with it. I want to try it and I want to see because I know that a lot of people say—
I can tell you, they're going to love it.
Yeah, I don't know. I hope so. I think so. Some people say, you know, my kids were not that into this. And I'm like,
I think the boys will be.
Okay, so I want to try it. I've never once done it.
So many of our podcast listeners it, too. We get so many emails like, oh, you guys haven't tried this yet. You should try it. It's a huge part of our camping experience. So we definitely want it. We definitely want to do that.
So it's on my list.
And since we're not writing a book, we'll have time to.
Yeah. No, that's
at least
a big
at the
goal
moment,
for
we're
us.
Not writing
no,
a book.
We're not. And that was one of our resolutions. No book this summer. Right. It's not on the list, but...
Okay. The last one I love, daily family reading time. And it's not that we didn't do it last summer. It's just that we didn't do it as much as we wanted to, as extensive as we wanted to.
I would have to say that my attempts to coerce our children into independent reading time every day last summer was met with a huge resistance. Now, I also want to give a shout out to my boys for their amazing reading growth this year. They have just, even though they always loved us reading out loud to them, we were struggling with them as independent readers this year. They are so into their books and their independent reading, and I'm excited to transfer that to the summer campground. Now, I started, when I became a mom, reading off of my phone on my Kindle app because it was convenient. I had my phone. I could always just go to
the
place.
You read whole novels off of your phone.
Off of my phone.
All the time.
Well, what happened was this past year, I realized that I was not messaging reading to my children. Like, so I'm a big reader, but I think if you asked my children, oh, does your mom read? I don't know if that they would have said, oh, my mom's a big reader. Why? Because what do they see me doing? Looking at my phone.
Yeah, and they don't know the difference.
They don't know the difference. Yeah. So if I'm sitting there on the couch and I'm looking at my phone, they don't know I'm reading. And I realized at that moment where even though the Kindle app is very convenient for me, I want to model being a reader for my kids. And that's going to mean I have a book in hand. So one of my resolutions this year is to have book in hand, even though a lot of people say, oh, you know, Kindles are so bad, good at the campground. You don't have to worry about packing books. That's true. But right now it's important that my children see me reading on a daily basis and understand that that's part of what we do as a family. So guess what? I'm going to paper books and I'm bringing along paper books and I want to model independent reading every single day at the campground.
Good for you. I also want to say, too, I'm also really proud of the boys because they're reading to Wes. Now, that's not happening every day, but on certain days, they will read a story to Wes.
Well, and they do it more. He's like, no. He gives them a hard time.
Yeah, but sometimes, or he'll sit through half the story and then walk away.
Yeah.
So, but I think that could be a really rich part of our summer reading experience, too. All right. Those are Stephanie's resolutions for the 2016 camping season. We're going to be back in a second with Jeremy's resolutions. And now it's time for a sponsored message from our friends at RVTrader.com.
If you've been dreaming about RVing but aren't quite sure where to start, RV Trader can help you find the right RV for you and your family.
Check out their blog, which has helpful articles on new units entering the market, travel tips, events, and other helpful resources.
Also, icons on the homepage will help you search for towable units or motorhomes, and you can select a specific manufacturer or price range to narrow your results and find RVs near you.
And lastly, if you're looking to sell your current RV or trade it up for another one, RVTrader.com can help you do that too. Add photos, a description, and contact info, and buyers will contact you directly for more information.
RV Trader has everything you need to find or sell your RV.
To start your search today, visit RVTrader.com.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Jeremy is now on the hot seat. Look, he's taking a drink of water, like he's getting all ready.
I feel like I'm being interviewed. You know, that's how we do this.
All right. So I shared my 5 2016 spring camping resolutions. Are you ready to go with yours?
I'm totally ready. I really like doing this episode. I'm glad we're going to make it sort of like a tradition to do every spring.
Yeah. So, okay. Number one. You want to spend more time kayaking.
Yeah. So we own two ocean kayaks, and I love kayaking. I love kayaking on the ocean. I love kayaking on lakes. I love kayaking on rivers. But because Wesley was kind of too young, we didn't do a lot of kayaking at the campground. We did some, definitely. Mm-hmm. But some trips we didn't even bring the kayak, and we didn't kayak as a family together because of Wes. Now, I think Wesley is getting old enough that we can all go out on the five of us can go out on the two kayaks. And we're going to some great locations for kayaking this summer, including Cape Cod and Acadia National Park. And I want to make it more like a daily thing as opposed to maybe something we do once a week.
Yeah. So Wes is now, you know, he's going to be 3 this summer, and he is just totally fine with hanging out in a kayak. Like, there's none of that, like, woohoo, can't rely on him type of a thing. He's good to go with that, with his little life preserver. And
yeah, I want it. Like, hiking has been such a rich part of our RVing experience, and we hike almost every day in the summer. I would really like to get out on the water every day, particularly because we're going to some great water-based locations.
All right, so we're going to be lugging those kayaks around.
Well, that's part of the thing. It's easy to kind of cop out and be like, oh, I don't want to pack both of the kayaks because they're not quite that easy to pack.
No, frankly. Neither are three kids. Kids aren't easy to pack. That's the thing is we have a lot of management issues in our life.
I put the kayaks inside of the trailer, which makes it annoying to pack. So maybe I need to get some kind of system for the outside of the truck or something like that.
Okay.
Rack system.
Number two, you're taking your photography resolution to the next level, huh? Okay. So you said no iPhone photos, stick to DSLR?
Yeah, so last year it was just to get better at my using my real camera, and I did get better using my real camera. And now last summer, I used the iPhone a lot. And part of it is we're doing these trips, and you know we're doing some sponsored trips, and we are actually putting up Instagram photos as part of the deal. So it's just easier. It can be easier to just take the quick photo with the iPhone because you can get it right up onto Instagram. But the photos aren't as good. I know everyone out there says, oh, my iPhone takes amazing photos. Well, guess what? You know, I don't really feel that way. I feel like it has some serious limitations, particularly when you're dealing with kids that are running around and moving quickly, or if you want low light photos. So this year for my DSLR, I got this little attachment that will send my photos wirelessly to my phone. So I literally do not want to take iPhone photos this summer at all. I want to use my real camera. I invested money into it. I invested time into getting better. No more iPhone photos for me. Now, I'm not judging you if you're out there using your iPhone.
Like, yeah,
everybody. It's a decent handheld camera.
Monica Bennett got under your skin. She practically laughed at me.
Oh, she was scornful.
When I asked her, when I said, you know, be honest, Monica, do you use your phone to take pictures? She's like, huh, maybe for a reference.
I mean, look, I have wide-angle lenses now. I have my Nifty 50. I want to use it. You know, there might be a rare occasion where I don't want to drag that DSLR with me on a hike, but more often than not, I want to have that camera with me at my side all the time. Monica,
right.
And yet Monica inspired me that at our camp photography episode, Monica said, you always need your camera by your side. And I want to work that way this summer.
All right. So number three, this is like a work one, writing on our own blog.
Last summer, our own blog practically went dormant. It really did because we were writing The Idiot's Guide. We were doing articles for KOA, Jellystone, Good Sam, mm-hmm. Progressive. I mean, I feel blessed that we have all those writing assignments and we're working with such great, you know, customers, great companies in the industry. But, you know, those articles, you are writing for an editor and you are writing a certain type of article. And I think we do a great job with those articles. But on our own blog, I can write whatever I want. There's more freedom. I can be a little bit more quirky, a little bit more myself. And I love at the end of a fun day, just sitting down, putting some photos together and knocking out a blog post.
Right. Because in the industry, right, when you're looking at other people's blogs, they're looking for what we call tips and tricks pieces. Of course they are, because it's like, you know, people.
More universal.
Yeah, very universal and also very user friendly. And we love to provide that to our followers, our listeners. Now, for our own blog, oftentimes we try to be more reflective. Right? Like it's more of a travel piece or more of like, oh, a something that
family,
happened.
Family, philosophical.
Yeah. It's much more experiential than educational.
And really travel-based, mm-hmm. as you're saying. So like I remember last year I went on that great swamp tour, on the kayak tour, yeah. on Myrtle Beach. And I like to then come home at night, pull the photos together and just reflect on the experience in a post and not worry about the length and worry about if it's getting published or whatever it is. So I want our blog to be more active this summer. And because we're not writing a book, I just think there's no excuse for both of us.
We're
putting this
in March.
On you too.
Who knows what's going to come in May?
Well, I'm not starting a novel.
No,
so.
We did. We said no book this summer. Okay. So number four. Oh, boy. Fishing.
The boys love fishing. All three of them. They see their poles, they get excited, they want to fish, and it almost pains me to confess. I just did not grow up fishing, which frankly bothers me because my brother did and my grandfather did. And just for whatever reason, when I was 8, 9, 10, 11, I didn't get into it. Probably because I was surfing.
You were surfing. That's the problem with surfing. Yeah. We live in an area with a surf culture. And the thing about the surf culture is it can kind of like suck kids in. So like the kids that get involved in that, they just surf.
That's
and they
all
don't
I
do
did
any,
for like 10 mm-hmm. years. So they really want to fish. And I kind of put them off on it in the past. Like, oh, why don't we do this instead?
Or promise them. Like you'll be like, oh, we'll do that tomorrow. Or we're like, I think you just like push
I
it.
I do.
Push
it's
it,
almost
push
subconscious.
It.
Yeah. And yeah, look, part of it is as the dad or as the dad and mom, we're in charge of the equipment. And it's like there's that work angle when you're doing it with kids where it's not just purely for pleasure. You've got to mind all the equipment. But I don't want to put my kids off on fishing. If they're into it, I really want to do that with them. I want us to do that with them. So I want to get better at it. I want to get more proficient at it. I want to upgrade our equipment a little bit instead of just the Spider-Man fishing poles.
Oh, brother.
And we camp at so many places that are great for fishing.
And they're always excited. Like when we into a campground, and you know how a lot of campgrounds, like you'll see the lake like up front or whatever, and you'll see kids fishing. From that moment, when they see it, they want to do it.
It's one of those hobbies that really goes well with RVing. And there are so many hobbies that go well with RVing, which is one of the reasons I love RVing. I feel like photography just goes so well with RVing. I think, you know, fishing is just such a natural fit for a family that RVs. And we need to step up our game this summer. And I want to be in charge of that, stepping up our game.
I wish that one of us had this like pull to go catch a fish.
You, honey, you're better than I am in terms of like, okay, let's do it. You know,
I grew up on a river. And so it's not, it's like, I'm like, okay with it. And I like the idea of it, but it's just, neither of us are good at it.
I actually went online to see if there was an idiot's guide to fishing.
Of course you did.
Because I thought, well, we read an idiot's guide. I like the idiot's guides. And there was, but I think it was like out of print. So like you had to buy a used copy for like $40.
No.
And then there was a dummy's guide to fishing. And I refused to buy it because we're idiot's guide authors, right?
Fishing for dummies, right?
I think there was like a fishing for dummies, okay. So maybe I'll have to get that.
So what I think would help us with that resolution is like if we had one of those sort of pre-put together kits with the bobbers and the hooks, because we don't. And so you know how like you need different weighted things for different
right. –
like sometimes we go and there's this like – there's these small little fish, like the little sunnies, but we had these big giant hooks and there was – and so – all of the little fish were just nibbling the worms right off those big giant hooks, you know?
The ranger even told us, like, you don't have the right size hooks
we
here.
We know, because we just aren't stuck. So but I think that one of those things would help us.
You're inspiring me. I really just need to go to a bait and tackle shop, which we have so many of here at the Jersey Shore, and just say, look, I need a basic kit so I can take my three boys fishing.
Like you say, not like surf fishing. Like, we want to go fishing in the little lakes.
And that will do us a really good service, I think. So I'm excited. I'm really thinking that this is going to be a good year for us fishing at the campground.
Yeah. Okay. We'll say.
You know, she thinks this is the one I'm going to fail. You know, like when you do your resolutions, there's always that one, like, that ain't going to happen. Stephanie, now I feel more challenged to do it, frankly. You're throwing down the gauntlet there.
Well,
this woman can communicate without words more than anybody I know, frankly. You should see the look I'm getting right now.
Yeah, the eyebrows, they're going crazy. All right. So number five, another activity, which I think is appropriate because that is the age that our boys, you know, our older two are at. And Wes just goes right along for the ride. They're at this activity age, right? They've left the toy stage and they've moved into activities. So your number five is baseball.
I loved baseball growing up. I was an incredible Yankees fan. I played baseball in high school. I played varsity baseball. I was good at baseball. I watched baseball. I followed baseball. And I fell out of it later in college. And once I moved into my working life, I just kind of stopped watching, stopped playing. Baseball's a hard sport to play as an adult. It's not like pickup basketball where you just get a couple guys and play. And the boys now are just reinvigorating my interest in playing baseball and in watching baseball. They're both in Little League this year. They love it.
Mm-hmm.
I think they can both be really good at it. This one's easy for me. So every camping trip, the gloves are coming along, the wiffle ball, the wiffle bat, all the baseball equipment is coming. And I want on a daily basis to be doing some baseball with the boys, even if it's just to catch for an hour out at the campground.
And even now that it's light a little bit later, you've come home from work and you go right into the backyard and have a game of catch with them. It's happening right now. And it is something
that's capitalize on
so transformative at the campground to have that one activity that you're like, let's have a game of catch.
That go-to.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this one's easy for me where the fishing's like a bit of a challenge. And maybe in the past I pushed them off on it. Like when they want to play baseball, I want to play baseball. They don't have to, you know, they don't have to tug on me too hard to get me in the backyard to play catch, you know?
Yeah.
So I want that to be part of our daily campground experience. And I'm so super excited. We're harping on this fact, like, oh, we're not writing a book this summer, so we have more time. But I am so excited for this camping season because there's just going to be more time. I mean, we're going to have like 5 hours more each day to do these types of really fun campground activities.
Yeah.
And I last season I said I'm more excited for this RV season than ever before. And then we had that dramatic change and it became more work. So
I'm gonna say it again
this year. I am more excited for RV season than I ever had because the boys are coming into their own age wise. They're just able to do more and more. And to all you parents out there that RV, you know, Stephanie and I have said this many times. each season is so radically different than the last in terms of what they can do as they grow up. And they can start doing the things that you love, whether it's the kayaking or the baseball. When they're very little, you have a lot of limitations on the things you can do with the kids. But it's a beautiful thing watching them grow up and start to be able to do those hobbies that you love.
Oh, and they're so excited for camping too.
Oh, my gosh. They are way more than last year. Yes. Like, I don't know what the deal is with that.
Yeah, they're excited.
I mean, last year they were like, oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, we want to go camping. But this year it's like a thing with them.
Like when are we going?
Every day they ask, when are we going on the first camping trip? When are we going?
Yeah.
And then we're doing some camping with friends this year too, a little bit more, which is maybe part of the excitement. Like, they know they're going to be seeing some of their friends their age. So that might be part of the excitement. But they are pumped up and ready to go for RV season just as much as we are, maybe more so.
All right. So those are our spring camping resolutions for 2016. Just like last year, we would love to hear your spring camping resolutions, okay? So please post them on Instagram, email them to us. We'll do posts on Facebook.
Let's do a post on the forum. Let's put up a post on our forum, the RVFTA forum, which you can access through our website. Our forum's been awesome. It's been one of the best things going in our world this year. Let's put up a post and ask everybody what their spring camping resolutions are too. If you're not on our forum, you need to get on our forum. It's a great resource.
So please do share your spring camping resolutions. We'd love to share them next week on our episode news roundup for next week and hear what's going on out there in that world. Now, okay, just like last year, every single season, we should resolve to be more safe when we are RVing, right? It is so easy to cut those corners, and you hear stories about how that does not go well for you. So last year on our Spring Resolutions episode, we had an interview with Walter Cannon. And this year on our Spring Camping Resolutions, we have an interview with Amy Duthie, our friend from Jayco. She is the Senior Director of Product Development for the J-Flight Travel Trailers. She's been on our show before talking about J-Flights. Well, this time we have her on to talk about the Sway Command technology that is now available in every single travel trailer that Jayco is manufacturing. And this is a game changer in terms of Sway technology and safety.
So if you're RV shopping, we know we have a lot of first-time buyers out there who are buying their first RV this season. You might want to take a really good look at those Jayco travel trailers that come with Sway Command. I also want to say this about Amy. We've had other interviews with really great people from Jayco on the show. I mean, Mike Applin was excellent when he was on talking about toy haulers. But now Amy is making her second appearance on the show, which officially makes her a friend of the show.
I don't think anybody else has been on.
Once you're on the show more than once, you become a friend of the show. So while Mike was great and his toy hauler episode was downloaded a lot, you know, Amy's been on twice now, so she's got friend of the show status.
She's friend status.
Which comes with all kinds of perks and rewards that we will figure out at some
point. We're gonna figure out what those perks and rewards are, and then we'll tell Amy what they are.
They'll be good.
Yeah. So I sat down with Amy, and I asked her to sort of lead me through what exactly this technology is and how it differs from just your standard hitch, you know, weight distribution system, and why it's better and why we should look at it for our next trailer. So
all right. Look forward to this interview. Let's throw it to Amy right now.
Welcome back to the show, Amy. It's so good to have you.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Has spring arrived out there in Indiana?
It's coming. It's really close, and we can't wait.
Oh, yeah. We were buried in snow this week, so we're losing hope, but
we can see the sun, so that's a good thing.
Okay. All right. That's looking on the bright side. Great. Now, the last time that we talked to you on episode number 71, we were congratulating you all on having the best-selling travel trailer for 10 years running. Did I get that right?
That's correct. That's correct.
So now it turns out that congratulations are in order for another accomplishment that we read about in the industry news. We saw reports that Jayco outperformed every other manufacturer in the shipment of new RVs in 2015.
Yes, thank you.
You guys are celebrating that over there?
Of course we are. We thank our customers and our dealers for that. We are very excited about that.
And are you building new places to build all these RVs? Is there a lot of construction going on out there at the Jayco campus?
There definitely has been. We certainly look to continue to supply the market. So if need be, we will continue down that path. Absolutely.
All right. Well, you know, my husband looks to boost your numbers in the near future, I'm sure.
Right. Well, thank you.
Okay, so back in the fall when we last spoke, you had told me personally about the Sway Command tow control technology, but we weren't allowed to talk about it yet, right? Because it wasn't like being released yet, but now we can talk about it. Yes. So let's do that. All right. You're here to do that with me and you're going to walk me through because I'm going to like say wrong things because I don't get any of this stuff. And you're going to say, no, Stephanie, that's not really what it is.
Absolutely.
But we're going to start with the basics. So what is a sway event? And when are most RVers likely to experience one?
Okay, a sway event is going to be anytime your trailer moves out from directly behind your truck. So, for example, you're traveling down the road and you have a minor sway event occur. Say you pass a small to mid-sized truck and you feel your trailer start to move a little bit behind your truck. That's considered a sway event. And there's varying degrees, minor and major.
Okay, right. So I that always makes me nervous. We've been towing for 6 years, and still when I feel that, I always feel like I'm getting sucked into the, you know, semi as it goes by. And that every time it gets me still to this day. So what other kinds of things can cause a sway event while you're towing?
It can be anything. It can be uneven roads. We have a lot of owners that are traveling in more on a rough terrain. So you can be on a rough road. You could have heavy crosswinds. You could need to make an emergency maneuver of some kind to avoid an obstacle in a road. So any of those can induce a sway event.
Okay. Now, I know that we and many of our towing listeners have weight distribution hitches that are supposed to help manage those sway events, correct?
Yes, okay. Correct.
So what are the limitations of those hitches?
Okay. Well, first and foremost, we still, even as we continue the conversation and talk about sway command and the new technology, we still very much recommend that customers continue to use the weight distribution hitches that you already have today. Weight distribution hitches are great. They can help in those minimum sway events, but they have a limited effective zone. So for your minor events, the small to mid-size trucks passing you, the moderate crosswinds, those sorts of events, weight distribution hitches are going to continue to be great for that type of event.
Okay, so I was thinking when I was looking at the video online, really, that it was a separation between those minor, regularly occurring sway events and the sort of more drastic sway events that might occur. And for those more drastic sway events, that's where this sway command technology comes into play.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, so now you are going to explain what this sway command technology does.
Yes. And I'm going to try to do this without being too technical.
Okay.
it's a really exciting product. I mean, we have looked at products like this for about 3 years now, and there's several on the market. And the reason that we selected Sway Command is this is the technical part. It uses both accelerometer technology, which measures your lateral force, and gyroscope technology, which detects your angular velocity. Okay, that's as technical as I get, I promise.
Okay, but I got, when I was looking at that online, I found that really helpful to learn about. So explain what the difference is between those two.
It does. So it allows the system to tell your side to side and your up and down movement. So those two work together to really tell your trailer, yes, this is a sway event and I need to activate. A lot of the other products that are on the market only use the accelerometer technology. So it's not really intuitive in reading the full situation of what is occurring with the trailer. So those two items together are going to work together to tell your trailer, yes, this is a sway event and I need to apply the trailer brakes, not stop the trailer going down the road, but apply the trailer brakes to prevent this from occurring. And it will happen automatically. And the benefit to the customer is this happens faster than the human response. So we don't even want the customer to feel that a major sway event is going to occur. The system will stop it before that even happens.
Yeah, that what really caught my attention when I was trying to learn more about this, and I wanted to make sure that I was understanding that correctly. This kicks in before you might even be aware that it's happening.
Yes, yes. There's a light pod, a round light pod that's mounted on the front of your trailer, and it's viewable by the driver, can see this in the rearview mirror, and it has a green light. It's real simple. It has a green light, tells you that the system is on, the system is active, and if it flashes red, that means that your trailer brakes have been activated, and it is preventing a sway event. Ideally, customers will never get into a situation where they have a major sway event, but if you get into emergency maneuvers, a heavy crosswind, a large truck comes by you, it's nice peace of mind to know that this is going to keep you from experiencing that.
Now, I was also seeing that it's wired in such a way to really prevent this system from being like disconnected in any way, right?
Correct, correct. It's mounted to the trailer frame and it's mounted in parallel with your trailer brakes. So what that means is your brakes are not going to fail. If for some reason the sway command system would not activate properly, you still have your trailer brakes, or vice versa. It's not going to override your trailer brakes that are already there. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. So this light pod that's mounted on your trailer, all of the new Jayco travel trailers now have that.
They are prepped for it. So any travel trailer product that we produce, with the exception of our large destination bungalow trailers, all come prepped for sway command. So there'll be a sticker on the front telling you that the wiring is there. So if the dealer hasn't had the system installed, they can easily add it on. But we also offer it as a factory installed option as well. So there's a couple different options for customers.
Okay, so our listeners, and we have a lot of shoppers, we're always getting listeners that are in the market right now and looking. And let's face it, most RV owners are always shopping.
Absolutely.
So they can find two things at their Jayco dealer. Either it's already going to be installed with that little light, like that's a good way for us to see if it's already installed, right?
Yes.
Okay, so you can look for that little light pod and you know, okay, that's been installed at the factory. Or you can ask your dealer to put that on as one of your options.
Correct. And if it doesn't have the light pod, if it's been prepped, there is a round sticker where the light pod would be. So it's pretty easy for the customer to tell if it's been prepped or not.
Right,
and
that's perfect.
And we provide very specific instructions to the dealers on how to install it. So the dealers are aware and they know how to install those at their locations as well.
And then is all this covered under the 2-year warranty like everything else?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Okay.
It is.
Okay, good. We like our warranties here.
we love the warranty.
At RV Family Travel Atlas. All right. Now, something else that we started to notice Jayco prepping for, especially since we've been looking at your toy haulers a lot, is solar power.
Yes.
So there is a difference, again, just like you explained to us with the sway command, there's a difference between prepping for something and having it installed at the factory. So we just wanted to use your expertise while you were on our show and tell us, you know, a little bit about what it means to prep a unit for solar power.
Okay. And we do this a couple different ways. I'll start kind of from the bottom up on some of our products. J-Flight, for example, I like to talk about J-Flight since I'm the J-Flight person.
We know.
Right? We are prepping. We're doing solar prep on some of our products. And what you'll find in the A-frame area, right underneath where your LP bottles are, there is a port there. And that is prepped for a portable solar panel. It doesn't have to be a specific brand. A couple that we are familiar with that we have customers that have is either GoPower or Zamp. But it's a universal port. And they can purchase a solar panel and they plug it straight into that port and they set it up right on their campsite area, wherever they have the best sun visibility in that area. That's one way to do it. And that's what we're doing on J-Flight.
That seems like a pretty affordable option.
It is.
In terms of solar.
Absolutely. It is. And it gives customers more options out there. They can buy smaller panels. They can buy larger panels. Really, it's up to the customer on how they want to use that. As some of our other brands, the Eagle, for example, actually pre-wires for a roof mount solar panel. So we don't supply the panels, but the wiring is already in the wall that they can actually install permanently mounted solar panels on the roof of their trailer. And those can be installed by a dealer, but at least we've done the work ahead of time in putting the wiring in the wall, putting the port on the roof so the customer or the dealer does not have to go in and start trying to find locations to install this or make any cuts in the walls, for example, in order to put the wiring there.
Taking your brand new trailer and ripping it apart.
Exactly. We know people don't like to do that, and we don't want you to have to either. This goes back to the warranty. We've already done it for you. You don't have to worry about any warranty situations by cutting holes in a brand new trailer.
All right, Amy. Well, thank you so much for telling us a little bit more about the Sway Command. I really recommend to all of our listeners that they can go and they can watch the video that you first showed me back in November. I'll put that in the show notes, and that can really help you understand. It helped me understand the system and how it works, along with your other safety, like your trailer brakes and your hitch, you know, weight distribution hitch. It all works together to keep us safe. And, you know, this is our spring resolutions episode, our spring camping resolutions episode. And no matter what, we are always resolving to be a little more safe while we're towing on the road. So thanks for coming on and helping us understand how we can do that.
Great. Thank you so much for having me. It's always good to be here.
It is. And we'll have you back with the next big development in the world of Jayco. Okay.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, everyone, for listening to this episode. Thank you so much for visiting our forums. Thank you for leaving us iTunes reviews and liking our photos on Instagram. This has been just a really exciting ride for us this year. And thank you so much to the sponsors of this week's episode. To Yogi Bear's Jellystone Parks, to find one of their great campgrounds, head over to campjellystone.com. And to Campers Inn RV, you can find them at campersinn.com. And to RV Trader, you can head over there and find them at rvtrader.com/sell and enter coupon code RVFTA5OFF to get a special discount.
All right, and for you guys who want to win something out there, look for our picture up on Instagram of the RhinoFlex sewer hose kit. And remember, you need to like Camco, you need to like us, you need to like the photo, and you have to tag a friend.
And thank you so much to Amy Duthie for her second appearance on our show. She's now a friend of the show. We look forward to having her back on the show again sometime real soon.
Yeah, she says she has some stuff coming down the pike.
Oh, because it's model year 2017 coming up.
We'll keep
that
you posted.
That might be a good reason to have Amy back.
All right, tell us all your spring camping resolutions on the forum. Email them to us and we'll share them on next week's show.
See you at the campground.
Happy camping.
Happy camping, everybody. Happy spring.